Why are you here? What's the purpose of your life, my life? What's life all about? We're born with nothing. We go through life and we leave with nothing. We leave it all behind, do we? What's the purpose of life? Solomon talked about it in Ecclesiastes. The whole purpose of life is to honour God and fear God. That was his conclusion. Why are we here? To amass as much as we can, to get as much as we can? Why are we here? That's a big, big question. Why am I on planet Earth? Keep telling people I don't cause trouble. It just seems to follow me around. It's really quite amazing. Is my purpose in life just to get through causing as little damage as I can? Is my purpose in life to get through helping as many people as I can? Is my purpose in life just to get as much enjoyment as I can? To make more good decisions than bad? To make less good decisions than bad? What's the purpose of why am I rated overweight on planet Earth? Why am I here? For the grandchildren, it's because I'm free food. Keep saying to Alfie, if you want to go out with your friends rather than go out with the old folk, just let me know. He said, it's okay, Bumpeck, that's what he calls me. It's okay, you're free food. Well, thank you very much, son. I appreciate your love and your devotion to me. I am a meal ticket to my grandson. And that's my reason for being every Wednesday afternoon. We're there this week and it's going to be free food again. Why am I here? What is the point of my life? There's a reason why you're on planet Earth. And you must decide really for yourself what that reason must be. Nobody can tell you why you're here. It's a conclusion we've all got to come to at one point or other. There's been a tremendous outpouring of praise and adoration almost for a young man who died aged 41, Rob Burrow. And we've seen pictures of him. He's about 5'5", depending on what paper you read. He's 5'4" or 5'5". And he was a little pocket dynamo on the rugby league pitch. 6'5", players couldn't get him with a stiff arm because he ducked under them. Very frustrating, very fast. And tribute had been paid to Rob Burrow. He did a tremendous job for his club at Leeds. But what he's done for MND afterwards is gaining more praise. The stuff that he's put into that disease of getting a new home for it, a new place for it to be looked into. And he's been praised. Rob Burrow, I never met the man, but what he's done for rugby league and MND, this horrible disease, he's been praised by those that did know him. Why are we on planet Earth? What is the point of my life, my existence? I would suggest to you it is to honour and to glorify God. That's why I am on planet Earth. To live for the glory of God. And that goes up into every part of my life. School life, married life, parental life, grandparent life, leisure life, money, finances, prospects, hopes, dreams, aspirations. That every aspect of my life should be geared to glorifying God and lifting up God's name above everything else. That's why you were made to be put on planet Earth. To glorify God and to exalt him and to fear God in all that we do. This morning we're going to think very quickly, very simply, about two incidents in the life of Moses. The God said to Moses, I will. I will. And the first incident is found in Exodus, early chapters, where the children of Israel, that's God's people, the Jews, are in Egypt. And they're in Egypt and they've been there for the best part of 400 years. And they're slaves. They went down first of all because there was a famine in their land and Joseph was in charge in Israel. And time has gone on and Pharaoh has come and gone and come and gone. And now there's somebody in charge of the land who knew nothing about Joseph and what he did. And he's suppressing God's people. And God speaks to Pharaoh through Moses. And God said to Moses, listen, judgment is coming on Egypt. I'm going to come into that land and I'm going to judge that land because of their behavior. But I will give them a chance to repent and change. But God knew that Pharaoh would harden his heart. And God knew that Pharaoh wouldn't respond. And 9 times he spoke to Pharaoh through different plagues. And Pharaoh changed his mind each time after recognizing he needed to change. He went back again and said, no, you're not leaving. Take the plague away, you can go. When the plague had gone, no, you can't go. That was Pharaoh. Finally, the last plague comes. It was the death of the firstborn. And God said to Moses, listen, the message is this. There is judgment coming on Egypt, and there's only one way which you can avoid the judgment coming onto your family. And that is this. And very simply, they were to take a lamb, and they were to examine that lamb for 7 days, and they were to take all the yeast which goes into the bread out of their homes and clean up their homes. And they were to take the lamb and they were to go inside their house and they were to sacrifice that lamb and put the blood on the outside of the door and then to stay inside the house with their bags packed and their traveling clothes on, waiting for God to come. And God's going to come through the whole of Egypt. And every eldest child in every home will die. This is God's judgment. And it's a righteous judgment. God is judging the sin of Egypt. And God says this, listen, there's one way in which you can avoid this judgment coming in your home. And that's to take the lamb and put the blood on the outside of the door. And God says this, when I see the blood, I will pass over you. I will shield you from the judgment. I will shield you for what's coming down the line. I will protect you from it because you've put your faith in me. You've done what I said. And I will shield you from the judgment that's coming. And all those that listened to what Moses said through God, all those that obeyed what God said, the eldest child in that house did not die. Because the lamb had died instead. And they had put their faith in God. It didn't make much sense to lots of people that a dead lamb and the blood from that dead lamb around the outside of the door could protect them. But it worked because it was God's plan. It worked because that's what God said had to happen if you're going to save the eldest child in your family. And when God's judgment came on Egypt, every home, without exception, from the king's palace to the smallest house in Egypt that didn't have the blood over the door, the eldest child died. And the word of God says there was weeping in the houses of those people who had not done what God had said. But every home that did what God said, God protected them. Do you know something? It doesn't make much sense to many people that a man who died on a cross 2,000 years ago can protect us today. Doesn't make any sense. Foolishness. Can't get my head around that. But God said it's true. And when God says something, he means it. And when God says something, we can trust it. And when we rely upon what God said, we are blessed by God. And so the death of Jesus Christ on that cross 2,000 years ago, we read this morning from the word of God in the first service, the one who had no sin, the one who had nothing wrong, took our place on that cross. And he bore our sins in his body on the tree. So when Jesus died on the cross, he died for the sin of the world so that our sins could be forgiven. That's what God says. That's the word of God. And when a person trusts in that, God says, I will pass over you. My judgment will never come on you. I will save you from what's coming down the line in judgment because you've put your faith in me. That's the reality of the Christian message. To some, it's foolishness. Friends, if it's foolishness to me, I'm not forgiven. And God's going to judge me. If I refuse to accept it, then I'm not forgiven. And God's going to accept me. You see, God's judgment's coming down the line. And the only way to avoid it is by faith in the work of Jesus Christ on the cross. There is no plan. You ever seen those Marks and Spencers? The old trucks used to have? Plan A because there's no plan B. I don't understand what it meant. But that was what they said on the side of their M&S vans. Other vans are available. But there's no plan B with God. There's no plan B. There's no good works plan B. There's no trying your best plan B. There's no doing what you can plan B. There's no giving to charity plan B. It's all about Jesus Christ. His death on the cross. The Son of God that loved me, said the Apostle Paul, and gave himself for me. That's who I'm trusting in. What a wonderful thing to know that you're forgiven by God. Isn't forgiveness a wonderful thing? When Elaine forgives me for... Well, she's rolling her eyes and it's all in. When somebody forgives you and they never mention it again. Isn't that wonderful? Then you get those that forgive you and keep pulling out off the shelf. Look what he did last time. You haven't forgiven you, never mind looking at her like that. I can see all things up here, you know. Never mind giving the sly look there. That's what we do, isn't it? I'll forgive, but I'm not going to forget. Hey, when God forgives, he doesn't forget. He refuses to remember. And there's a world of difference. So in Egypt, there was a Passover where God said, if you do what I say, I'll protect you. But that was just the beginning. That was just the beginning of it all, because they come out of Egypt. And in Exodus chapter 33, which is what we're going to talk about now a little bit, is when Moses comes down the mountain with the Ten Commandments, and they built a golden statue to worship this golden statue rather than God. And God says to Moses, listen, I've just had enough. He says it also in the, when they refused to go into Egypt. Into the promised land, I beg your pardon. I've had enough, he said. I'll make a great nation out of you. But Moses says, no, please don't do that. Because God, I want to live to glorify your name. And in Numbers chapter 14, Moses says, listen, if you wipe out these people in your anger, if you destroy them, your name's going to be trashed. So God, please don't do it. And Moses responded to that, and God says, I'll forgive them. I'm going to make a great nation out of you, says God. But Moses says, no, because I want to glorify your name. And in Exodus chapter 33, he's come down the mountainside, he's seen the golden calf, and God is so angry with his people. And Moses steps in and he deals with it. And then Exodus chapter 33, Moses says this. I know you, you have said to me, you know me by name, and you have found favour with me. If you are pleased with me, teach me your ways. God, just teach me your ways. So that I may know you and continue to find favour with you. Remember that this nation is your people. The only difference between a Christian and somebody who's not a Christian is the fact that God is with them. In every other aspect, we are exactly the same as everybody else. We still pay our gas bills, or we still have to eat the food, or we still have to get on the bus, and we live life by that. But the difference is that Christian is living for the glory of God. That's why a Christian is on this earth. And if you're a Christian friend, that's why you're here, for the glory of God, to glorify God's name and to exalt God. If your presence does not go with us, says Moses, I don't want to leave here. I don't want to move on without your presence. I don't want to move on without your promise to be with me. I don't want to move on because I want to glorify your name. What else will distinguish me and your people from all the other people on the face of the earth? And God says, I will do that. I will promise I will go with you. I will be with you in the tough times, in the good times. I will be with you all the time, Moses. I will make that promise to you. And then Moses says this, now show me your glory. Really show me how great you really are, God. I want to see your glory. You brought me out of Egypt. You brought me across the Red Sea. I know your salvation, but I want to honor you in what I do. Would you just show me how great and mighty you really are, God? And God said, I will. I will. You see, Moses' single desire was to glorify God. And his fear was if God doesn't go with him, he wouldn't be able to do that. So Moses says, just show me your glory. And this is what God says. I will cause all my goodness to pass in front of you. I will proclaim my name, the Lord, in your presence. I will have mercy on whom I will have mercy. I will have compassion on whom I will have compassion. But you cannot see my face, for no one may see me and live. The Bible says that God lives in light which is unapproachable. Unapproachable light. If God was to reveal his glory in all its majesty and power, we could not deal with it. Too much, too great, too bright. But what God said to Moses with this, Moses, if I can paraphrase, I will show you as much of my glory as it's possible for you to know. And Moses was put in a cleft of a rock, and God shielded Moses from his power and his majesty, and God walked down the valley, and Moses was able to see the back of God, but not his face. Why am I here? I'm here for the glory of God. That's why I'm here. Why is every human being on planet Earth? For the glory of God. To lift up their voice in praise to God and to worship God and have desires that are godly and holy and right and true, and to be the one that looks to God to lead and direct, that we would say, Lord, teach me your ways. Show me how I should live to get the best out of my life. Those pictures that David put up on the screen there, the Lamborghini doodah, however it was, it'll rust. It'll fade. And somebody else will come along and do another world tour, making more money. And somebody else will come along and win the cup. And it'll fade. When a person is for the glory of God, oh, I tell you, your life is fulfilled. Your reason for being here is answered for the glory of God. That I might praise him and exalt him in all that I do and say and think. That I would understand the greatness of the glory of the majesty of God is beyond what I can understand, but I understand that I can't understand it. But I live in the blessing of it. And tomorrow morning, some are going to get up to go to work just to get the money. And some will do things just to satisfy a craving. And some will do things because they feel they should. But wouldn't it be great if tomorrow morning we all woke up and said, God, I want to glorify your name today. I want to see your glory. I want to walk with you. I want to please you. I want you to know me by name and by nature. I want you to bless me. And I want to live for you today. That was the desire of Moses. And you know what God said, Moses? I will. I will. Time's gone. But hey, why are you going to get up tomorrow morning? Why? For God's glory? Or for some other reason? This is what life is all about, folks. This is the reality of life. We're made for the glory of God, to worship Him and to serve Him. But I cannot do that. No more than Moses could do that without first taking the lamb and making it my own. I cannot live for the glory of God without putting my faith and trust in the Lord Jesus Christ in true repentance, that He died on that cross so I could be forgiven, and He rose again to be my Saviour, and He ascended to heaven to be my Lord and Master and my High Priest, and I'm looking forward to His coming again. Friends, that's what needs to happen in every individual's life, in here and out there. And you know something? It works, because it's God's plan. But that's just the beginning. To go on and live for Him day by day. To want to show His glory every day. To do what He wants me to do every day in my life. To glorify Him and lift His name high every day. So when people see me in my behaviour, this is my desire. That when people see me and how I live and what I say and what I do, they see God's glory. Folks, that's why we're here. And anything else, it's not worth the time we give to it, because it's only temporary. But to live for the glory of God, it begins with trusting Christ, and it continues with living for Him and desiring to see God's glory. And one day, oh, one day, I'm going to see Jesus in all His glory and praise Him as I should. But it all begins with trusting Christ.